In light of what we have heard this evening, I would like to read with you, please, in 1 Chronicles. First Chronicles, please, and chapter 4. Here's a man who was discontented. Verse 9, please. First Chronicles 4, verse 9. And Jebus was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jebus, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jebus called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed, and enlarge my coat, and that thine hand might be with me, that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. Now God will bless the reading of his sacred word. What God can do with one person with divine discontent in their soul. I could tonight speak to you of men that have left large marks upon testimony, men whom God took up and used mightily, whose record fills large parts of Scripture. I could speak to you tonight of Gideon. I could speak to you tonight of Samson. I could speak to you tonight of Samuel. I want just to point out to you a man virtually unknown, whose record is in just these few verses of Scripture, and yet a man, one can conceive him being a blessing in the sphere in which he lived. And it arises because this man had that discontent in his soul. I'll speak to you tonight on three matters about Jebus. I'll speak to you first of the sphere of his testimony. Then I'll speak to you of the state of the testimony. Then I'll speak to you of the secret of his testimony. The sphere of his testimony. It's perfectly clear that Jebus belonged to the tribe of Judah. And you would recognize that certain things marked the tribe where Jebus was reared. For example, in chapter 5 of this book of the Chronicle, we are told that Judah prevailed above his brethren. Associated with Judah was power. The power of God. The symbol of the tribe was the lion. And you can envisage the march of the Israelites with the tribe of Judah and the lion banner at the head. Power. Then again, associated with Judah were the possessions. They were the first tribe under Joshua to get their possession. And they had a rich heritage. A man of Judah wrote, the lines, that's the measuring line, are fallen unto me in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage from the Lord, a rich possession. Power, possession. And you would expect the tribe whose very name meant praise to be in the forefront of worship, rising before God, and that would generally be true. So for war, they had power. For want, they had possession. And for worship, praise was rising. You might say, well, wasn't that a fine place for Jabez to be born? And the answer is yes. He had a goodly heritage. And you would expect that Jabez would enjoy it, wouldn't you? But wait a moment. Can you imagine why a woman in Israel, in Judah, cradling her little baby in her arm, she gives him a strange name. She calls him sorrowful, grieving. You say, that's strange. Why should a woman in Israel name a baby so, with a name that would have marked him out, made him the butt of his playmates? You can see the picture. And your name is Jabez? Sorrowful? Grieving? You begin to think, there's something wrong here. If Jabez was brought up in Judah with the power of God, the possession of God, and the praise to God, why is his name Jabez? The answer is very simple. The state of the testimony. Times had changed. Generation had gone from those great days of the past. And Jabez is born into a tribe now that I submit had lost their power, had lost their possession, and had lost the praise to God. And you say, how could that be? The answer lies in a study of the chronology. And to put Jabez into history, the history of the people of God. And I submit, there are indications in the passage that Jabez was born in the time of the judges. And I turn back in my Bible to see what happened to Judah in the time of the judges. And as I open the page of Scripture, I come to this statement about Judah that stills the heart. What is the statement? It's this. In the book of Judges, and chapter 1, and you read this. And the Lord was with Judah. Good. And he drove out the inhabitants of the valley. I'm sorry. He drove out the inhabitants of the mountain. But could not drive out the inhabitants of the valley, because they had chariots of iron. Judges 1, 19. Did you say, what's the picture? It's this. Judah, pressed up to the mountain top, lost the possession. They hadn't the power to hold them. Their possessions have been lost. They're confined to a little tiny spot on the mountain top. Not grow much up there, Judah. There's not many supplies to keep the song going, to provide the strength for God. You've lost your power, lost your possession, you've lost your praise, and a baby's born, and an exercised mother says, give it. Sorrow. Grief. The little boy grows up under those circumstances. Do I need to paint the picture, brother? Do I need to fill in the detail? How long are you saved? when God saved you, following the pattern of Scripture, you bowed the knee, were baptized, were gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus, and there were good days, weren't they? Days when there was power with the preaching, when there was possession in the sense of food for the people of God. Every meeting was a delight. The Scriptures were open and the Spirit of God was working, speaking to the heart. Gathered around the person of Christ, there was praise rising. There were songs constantly. Is that the picture? It's hardly the picture tonight, is it? Now I'm a stranger, total stranger. Never been here before. Is that the picture tonight? I speak to you, older brethren. Your mind will go back to days when power was seen, possession was enjoyed, praise rising, the hall filled. The boy, a girl, is saved. And they're brought into that assembly. And they look round and see the lack of power, the lack of the possession in the Scripture, the lack of praise and song rising to our God. Would their name be Jabez? Would there tonight be a younger saint with an exercise of heart that would say, is this all? This is our possession. This is all we've got. This is all the power that we can muster. This is all the praise that we can render. Well, maybe there is. Maybe there is a heart. Perhaps in this first meeting of the conference, there is an exercised heart. A discontent of which we have heard tonight. I wonder what the outcome will be. What the result will be. Will there be something done? You watch Jabez growing up with these things burning into his very mind and into his heart. You might say, Jabez, look at that little possession. Couldn't you push the boundaries back? Well, he'd say, if we do that, the Canaanites will be out with chariots. The enemy will be on the march. We haven't got the power to fight them. We can't regain our possession. Supplies are very scant up here. You talk to Jabez, and I don't think you would find that. Because Jabez was different from his brethren. It says he was more honorable than his brethren. And if you look at the word honorable, you'll find that it's used of Samuel and has to do with conviction. An honorable man, Samuel. Here is conviction. But more honorable, the phrase occurs just in connection with the mighty men of David. It's not only conviction, it's courage. And as Jabez grew up, I submit to talk to his brethren, then tell you, Jabez, you're not to blame. It happened before you were born. This condition is no fault of yours. You better just accept it. Better just go along with it. Better just, look after your own little farm and forget about all the rest. Do you hear that? Jabez, don't bother. You might have talked to Jabez and said, Jabez, what's the real trouble? Maybe he would have said, those chariots. Those chariots, that's where our weakness lies. You might have said to Jabez, Well, what about importing a few chariots? Copy the Canaanites, meet them on their own ground. Jabez might have said, chariots don't run too well on the hill. Well, you might have said, Jabez, what about inventing some chariots? Or maybe not just chariots, but something like the chariots. You could invent something. Give your fellow saints an advantage. Jabez neither imported chariots nor invented chariots or something like them. He did something far more effective. And this is why his name comes down to us tonight on the page of Scripture. What did he do? Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. You look at that. Say, Jabez, what did you do? And here's the record. Jabez, it said, called upon the God of Israel. Jabez called on the God of Israel. Now that word called is in the Hebrew tense that's called the long tense. Very simply, it means this. He just didn't bow the knee for 5 minutes and call upon God. It means he altered his whole way of life. And from that point, he made it his exercise to wait upon God. He called upon the God of Israel. Isn't that what our brother was ministering to us tonight? This conference could make changes. And the changes the conference could make must begin with the heart. Spread to the home. Be evident in the habit. And the pattern before us tonight is Jabez. He called upon the God of Israel. Would that be true? Would a young man, a young woman, in this gathering, be prepared to face the state of the testimony, recognizing that the sphere of the testimony is divine, recognizing the state of the testimony in its need, and with a heart touch, now come to the God who can meet that need. You say, now, Jabez is prepared to call upon the God of Israel. I'll come back to this just in a moment. But I want us to step with reverent feet into the sanctuary and listen to Jabez pray. We are permitted to do that. It's divine permission. It has been allowed. And you're overhearing Jabez speaking to his God. Say, oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed. Oh, you say, that's pretty selfish. I pray that. I pray it every night. Oh, that thou wouldst bless me. Do you? You want blessing physically? You want blessing in the family? You'll mention all their names. You want blessing financially? You'll bring your problems and the pressures before God. You'll spend time. Pretty selfish. Jabez, you're just like me. No. There's one word that sets it apart. Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed. There it is. Indeed. That lifts it from the merely material, physical, financial. That brings it into the spiritual. Here's a man dealing with his God, and he says, "Oh God, I want that blessing." Where did he even get that word? He got it from his Bible. He got it from the record of Jacob. Genesis 34. Jacob, not at Bethel, but at Peniel. A man dealing with God. A man who's been a trickster all his life. Jacob. And he's dealing now, not with his brother, whom he tricked. Not with his father, whom he deceived. Not with his master, Laban. Deceived him. He had got what he thought was blessing in the past. But now Jacob at Peniel, face to face with God. He's lifting his heart, dealing with God. And the one who wrestled with him, and he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." Wasn't that a real blessing? Here's Jabez, picking up the story of Jacob. But he's not calling on the God of Jacob, he's calling on the God of Israel. And that's where Jacob got his name changed to Israel. Prince with God. And Jabez, in this sanctuary exercise, on burning his heart, said, "Oh God, bless me indeed." Could I challenge a heart in this gathering tonight, young men, young women particularly? What is it you want out of life? What is it that you've set before you? Could you get into the presence of God tonight and pray, "Oh God, oh that thou wouldst bless me indeed"? Forget about the fine house, the big car, the large bank account. I want the blessing that comes from a knowledge and an acquaintance and a fellowship with God. And Jabez is in the presence of God. He said, "Oh that thou wouldst bless me indeed." It will be difficult. It will be dangerous. It will be discouraging. But he wants the blessing that God alone can give, the God of Israel. Do you? That's a sensible question. And I trust a suitable question for this audience. Do you want real blessing? That's what Jabez sought. Now he summarized that real blessing under three particular requests. What are these requests? The first request is this: "Oh, that thou wouldst enlarge my coast." Push back the boundary. Regain the possession. This is what God promised way back in Leviticus 25. He would enlarge their coast. Jabez is a man with scripture written into his heart. And he said, "Oh God, I want that possession. I want what Judah has lost. I want that. I want to grow from that the supplies that will feed the saints. And their song will rise. Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed." The possession. Could I take you over to the Ephesian epistle? There you have, blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. You have the expression five times in the heavenly. In the heavenlies, please, has nothing to do with heaven itself. It has everything to do with the experience of the sin. Now, it's the spiritual enjoyment and experience of the saint in the things of God. Is there an exercised heart? Is there one tonight that would push back the boundaries and speak to God about the possession, a divine possession? Enlarge my coat. Then Ephesians chapter 1 and the first prayer of that letter would be suitable. That we may know is the word of Ephesians chapter 1. And I want you to notice the subjunctive mood there, that verse 1, the chapter 1 and verse 18, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know. What is it you want to know? Want to know what is the hope of his calling? That's the prospect. What the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, his possession? What is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? His power? How do you know? How do you get to know? There's only one way, and that's through the Scripture. The possession of which brings us into the enlargement of spiritual blessing. Let me challenge the heart. Did you spend time with your word today? Did you, young men and young women, read it? If you didn't, I doubt if you're saved. Did you meditate in it? If you didn't, you'll never develop in it. Did you study it? If you didn't, you'd never be any use in it. Did you obey it? There's where the possession becomes available. But once you start regaining that possession, the Canaanites, those who belong to the land, will get the chariots up. You haven't time. You've got to provide for your family. You've got to make progress in your job. You have got to gain place in the world, your education, your study, in secular thing. Are you going to be a Jabez? Say, enlarge my coat. And are you from this conference going to set the boundaries back and settle it in your heart that you're going to possess the possession, the Scripture that God has brought to you, that you might be the channel of blessing to others? Could we foster that divine discontent in the soul, that you might leave the conference, even this first meeting, with a determination, I'm going to get possession? Then the second cry from the heart of Jabez deals not only with want, that supply that will come only from the possession of God, but the second cry that comes from his heart is reminiscent not only of the want, but of the weakness that was all around him. And he said that thine hand might be with me. Thine hand might be with me. This is divine power. Those enemies will seek to restrain and keep in. And once I start to move, the enemy will be on my track. That thine hand might be with me in this exercise. We all need that. I submit that's not the first prayer of Ephesians. This is the second prayer. The first one is that you may know. This one is in chapter 3. And the cry from the heart of the apostle is that you may be able to comprehend. You might be able to bring it within your compass. But for that, you're going to need divine power. That's in the previous verse in chapter 3. Being strengthened, there's the word we need, with might by his Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. And that being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the length, the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height. That's of divine purpose. And to know the love of Christ. the Scripture, the Spirit. Will you follow this path? Come to this place? That as the divine power fills your very heart, strengthened with all might by His strength, by His Spirit in the inner man, you might gaze again upon Christ. Do you remember the first time you saw Him by faith? When you came as a sinner. Now coming as a saint, you look upon His face, the one who died for you, and there is that strengthening by His Spirit in the inner man. Show me thy face, one transient gleam of loveliness divine, and I shall never think or dream of other love save thine. All lesser lights will darken quite, all lesser glories wane. The beautiful of earth will scarce seem beautiful again. Been there? That thy hand might be with me. Stand tonight on that mountain top, alone with thee, O Master, where the light of earthly glory died. That's where the saint must be. When divine power comes in to regain the possession of God, that there might be something done for Him, and then you get there. Thou wouldst keep me from, and you should have the article there, Thou wouldst keep me from the evil. See, what's the evil? That's the evil of the judges. It's one of the links with judges. Do you remember the recurring phrase in the book of Judges? Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and He delivered them in the hand of so-and-so. Say, what's the evil? It was twofold. There was something for the that dealt with the affection, and something that dealt with authority. There was Baal. They were always in danger of bowing to the gods of the land. And who were the gods of Canaan? Balaam. Master. That challenged the lordship of Jehovah. His authority. You're going to get on in Canaan? You better bow the knee before Baal. Commercially. Agriculturally. Financially. Fertility. It all belonged to Baal. Bow the knee. No. That's evil. Then the other side was affection. Ashtaroth, goddess of love. That was the other claim. Challenged affection for Jehovah. And the two together constituted an evil at the very root of the testimony. And that's just exactly what Jabez said. That thou wouldst keep me. Me. I like this word to ring in your heart. You're a stranger to me in your circumstances, in your condition. But I leave this little word of challenge tonight. The Lordship of Christ. The love of Christ. Do you bow the knee? Do you allow it to fill and to flood your being? And what about taking the path of Jabez? Echoing the prayer of Jabez. Making a change in your lifestyle. That from tonight, things will happen. In the presence of God, He's anxious about the possession. Want, that's the first need. He's anxious about the power. Yes, there's war in the offing. He's anxious about protection. You see, there's wickedness there. That's the last prayer of Ephesians, chapter 6. That you may be able to stand. The enemy is not flesh and blood. The enemy is that satanic power that will come and attack. And attack you, and attack the testimony. And the challenge is, put the armor on. But here's Jabez in God's presence. That thou wouldst keep me from the evil. I trust you've got the picture. Just one final note. this I tell, that it may not grieve me. I suggest that you put in, instead of translating the word, the verb grieve, that you put in the name of Jabin, because that's what it means. This is the verb of the noun. And it's this, that I may be Jabin no more. What's he want? He wants his name changed. Didn't Jacob get his name changed to Israel? He wants his name changed. Didn't Abram get his name changed? Didn't Sarah get her name changed? Didn't Peter get his name changed? It's time you had a change of name. A change of name in Scripture speaks of a change of relationship. And in the presence of God now, Jabez said, that I may be Jabez no more. That would mean paths were changed, practices were changed, pursuits were changed, everything was changed. And you know, I've sometimes wondered what Jabez got for his new name. Because it says, and God granted him that which he requested. You see, God can't trust everybody with answers to prayer. I won't pause at this point. But there are 7 reasons why God may not answer prayer. Ponder them. God can't trust everyone with answered prayer. But he trusted Jabez. God granted him that which he requested. Lives of great men all remind us. We may make our lives sublime and departing leave behind us footprints in the sands of time. I wonder, will this conference make a change in many a life that we trust in God?